The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Thanks to spiritmotorgroup.ie. With secure online payments, buying your next used car has never been easier. With Spirit Motor Group.
With the COVID-19 death toll edging towards 40,000 in the UK, Dominic Cummings' refusal to resign or even apologise for breaking lockdown rules in March has heaped pressure on Boris Johnson to sack his trusted advisor. So why hasn't he? And what lasting effect will this stance have on the Conservative Party? Well, UK Cabinet Office Minister Michael Gove waded into the Dominic Cummings controversy, speaking on BBC News. He described him as a man of honour and integrity, and Gove also addressed Cummings' decision to undertake the 30-mile journey to Castle Barnard to have his eyes tested, saying that he wanted to confirm to himself that he was safe to drive.
When I read the story, I was convinced that there would be an explanation from Dominic, because I know that he's a man of honour and integrity. As people will have had the chance to hear yesterday, they will know from his own account that he was acting in a way which sought to safeguard his family, sought to limit, reduce the risk of infection to anyone else, and which took account of a range of circumstances. People will make their own mind up, and as Dominic himself said, there'll be many people who will think that his actions were wrong or mistaken, but looking at it in the round, I think that his actions were reasonable.
One area in particular which I think has drawn quite a bit of interest from people is this issue of driving 30 miles to Barnard Castle to check his eyesight. Can you explain a way around that?
He wanted to make sure before taking the journey down the A1 that he was safe to drive. And of course, in the course of that journey, he confirmed to himself that he was safe to drive.
Eyesight is not good enough, that in itself is an offence under the Road Traffic Act.
Dominic's eyesight was good enough. That was the whole point of the journey, to determine that he could drive safely.
When you're explaining, you're losing. Michael White, former associate editor with The Guardian, is on the line. Michael, good morning.
Hello, Pat. I've been in social isolation. I haven't spoken to you for ages. But we're getting there. I had a pint last night outside a pub in the garden.
Excellent. Excellent. I'm delighted to hear it. And what lovely weather
for
a quiet
pint. I knew you would be, and the listeners.
Now, Michael, what do you make of this saga? Because it seems like pulling defeat from the jaws of a kind of a victory for Boris Johnson. He managed to get over his inept handling of the coronavirus crisis by having a baby, fortuitously, and also being afflicted himself, so people felt sorry for him. So things were going okay in spite of the criticism, and now this.
They were going better, I think. I think when the inquest comes to be held, we'll wonder why they delayed locking down as long as they did, a week or two. London Sunday Times had a brutal piece, long piece, 4,000 or 5,000 words, 22 days when they daffed around and Boris got onto the case late. But that's not for now. You're quite right. He had that baby out of wedlock, as we used to say, and got over a very scary coronavirus. And that his libertarian instincts is, hey, let's all go to the pub and have a good time instincts, indeed lots of other things and a good time, deserted Boris. And after he had his own brush with death, he thought, got this wrong. So everything wasn't going so badly. And then along comes Dom Cummings, who Boris, somebody said this week, likes to ingratiate himself. He likes to be liked. He doesn't like confrontation. None of that applies to Dominic Cummings, and that's why Boris doesn't want to let him go. He's the other half of his brain, and he's much more focused and much more strategic and does the detail, and Boris doesn't do any of these things, including the confrontation.
So the suspicion that Dominic Cummings has something on the PM, that's not where it's at. The real story is that he needs him as a strategist, as a thinker.
Yeah, and as a driver and as a bully and all the things Boris isn't. I really don't think Dominic Cummings has got something on Boris that the rest of us don't, because, hey, let's face it, we've all got plenty on Boris. No Prime Minister since Lord Palmerston has been unable to tell us how many children he's got. I don't think that's it. I think he needs him, and it's a fairly serious psychological need. I can't remember if we've ever said this before, but when Boris became Prime Minister and wanted a Chief of Staff, apparently a couple of people turned him down, and he tried Cummings, and Cummings played hard to get. Boris had to go to Cummings's house, well-known front door now in all the newspapers, to ask Boris, and Gove had to do the same. We just heard Gove defending him. He's just different from them, and he brings something else to the party. Unfortunately, he brings a downside too. He makes a lot of enemies.
Now, looking at the YouGov poll, which was carried out after the lengthy statement from the Rose Garden at number 10, 71% of British people thought he did break lockdown rules. That was up 3% from Sunday. A majority of Labour, predictable 88%. Liberal Democrat, predictable 86%. Conservatives, 56%. Yeah. Remainers, perhaps predictable 81%. But Leavers, 63%. So,
yeah. Isn't that important? Yep.
They all kind of think this was not proper.
Well, they do, and they're right. I can just about, I'm sure some of your listeners can too, at a stretch, I can follow Cummings's thinking. Easiest not to dump on his busy brother or whatever the family was in London or his busy friends in London. Easier to take a small child home to the family compound, glimpse of privilege there. Up in Durham, but of course he shouldn't have driven with his wife sick. Durham, the northeast of England, was not then a COVID hotspot. It is now, and he shouldn't have done various things. And it doesn't quite hang together. And he shouldn't have been to Barnard Castle, though you can just about see why he let's go an easy journey. We all know in daylight, see whether my sight's restored to normal. I can just about follow that, but I can't follow it all. And when I read in this morning's papers that his claim in his press conference that he had been worrying about a pandemic in his blog last year, and then I read in this morning's papers that he'd tweaked the blog a bit, he'd changed it, or somebody had, I wonder who that can have been, on April the 14th when he got back to London, you think, oh no, that must be the last straw. But it isn't. The London papers, the Tory papers, have eased off him a bit today.
Yeah, that blog story is very interesting because this was a blog of last year. Yeah. And the idea would be that if he was predicting caution over a possible future pandemic, he would be seen as a brilliant political mind, a most prescient man to be worried about these global questions long before they actually materialised. And then it turns out that somebody, as you say, we're not saying Dominic Cummings himself, somebody altered his blog to put that in, as if last year he had predicted a pandemic.
Yeah, no, in defence of Cummings, he is somebody who has an interesting brain. I used to know him when I was still alive at Westminster years ago, and I once described him in a column I wrote for the New European as a rather intense young man who sounded as if he wasn't getting enough sex. He's that sort of person, a character out of Dostoevsky, brilliant but a bit mad. So he will have thought about these things, and he's interested in mathematical modelling. He, you know, he arguably the right man in the right place, but they didn't get it right, did they? He sat on the SAGE committee, but when the scientists were dithering too, I hasten to add, it's not all down to the politicians, but the politicians are the people who take the decisions at the end of the day. They're guided by science, but not ruled by science, and they got it wrong by a couple of weeks, given what we all knew was happening in Italy by then. And that's cost us a lot of lives, as you know. Mm.
Some of the texts. You can be sure that Cummings has kept lots of dirty secrets in his back pocket for a rainy day. Boris is probably terrified of firing him in case he tells all to the media. That's one. Another one. In the UK this morning, the hashtag media scum is trending. It's Tory voters defending Cummings and instead of holding Cummings to account are now attacking the media who have been reporting on this story. It turns my stomach that the world's becoming so polarised. I mean, that point about even the Mail, who would have been soft on Boris having a go at Cummings, seemed to suggest that this was a more objective story than maybe the Telegraph or the Express might indicate.
Yeah, the Mail is always interesting. On Saturday, Sunday, Monday and yesterday, Tuesday, the Mail was ferocious. People who say the Mail only goes after Labour politicians might like to cut out and keep Tuesday's Mail. Page after page of the attack dogs. And only one of them, Richard Kay, wrote an article where he half-heartedly said it might be a plot by the civil service. Don't forget, if you're these kind of people, and I hate to use language like that, you're always looking for a scapegoat, always looking for a conspiracy, someone to blame. And it's sort of Donald Trump writ small. And today the Mail's backed off a bit. But the temptation to blame the media scum is always there. It's, you know, that's part of life, isn't it? If you're a journalist, you know it all. Shoot the messenger. That's the old phrase, isn't it? But I don't think it'll wash on this one because you just read me the poll numbers.
What do you think of Cummings' future? I mean, one would imagine this one has damaged him somewhat. Does he need another banana skin to seal his fate, or is Boris Johnson wedded to him because of the fabulous majority that was achieved in the election?
Well, a lot of Tory MPs, 40 or 50, that's quite a lot. That's enough to overturn his majority, are saying he ought to go, including Jeremy Hunt, who's, no, he hasn't quite said that, Hunt, but you get the idea. And in fairness, some of them are Brexiteers. I heard quite a dignified Tory saying, look, I back Boris, you know, I'm for Brexit, but this isn't good enough. It isn't, this stage of the drama isn't over. He may be gone by lunchtime or tomorrow morning. If it drags on, there comes a point. Alistair Campbell, remember him, used to say if it's more than 8 or 9 days, it's all over and it's undignified to hang on to him. Because Boris is burning capital, like Rishi Sunak, the Chancellor, is burning money during this crisis. It's hugely expensive and damaging because it's demeaning. No, I don't think Dom has got something on Boris which is, keeps him in place. I think Boris needs him. He has the drive and the strategic thought, at least he did have until this week, to do what Boris can't do. That's why they need him. And they'll be, you know, lost at sea without him. And of course, we've got not only the pandemic and the paying of it. We've got the Brexit talks with Michel Barnier were going on, a big crisis meeting next month. Will we extend? They keep saying we won't, but Boris does U-turns all the time. Maybe he'll do one on Dominic Cummings this week, maybe on the EU extension next week. He's not a strong leader.
On that note, Michael White, a former associate editor with The Guardian, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.